What country did it come from?
It no longer exists, but take her for a test drive, and you'll agree. Zagreb FM Zlotik je.
Hello, and welcome to Village, a Die Hard Simpsons podcast. My name is Terry.
My name is Andy.
Andy, how the bloody hell...
Very well, Terry, very well.
Are you?
How are you?
I too am well.
Tight as ever.
All right, keep it tight now. Come on.
Terry,
hold up, clam head.
Bloody hell, are you, friend?
Yeah, I'm good. I am good. We're broadcasting from our respective abodes this week.
Yeah, and I tell you, it was a fun change up last week to do it face to face. But I must say, normally when I do that, the edits are a breeze, and the Patreon one was a breeze, but the first one, my audio levels were so much lower than yours. I literally had to manually go through the thing and raise just my audio as much as I can, because it was almost unlistenable. You would think it's supposed to be easier.
Well, I mean, you're the tech guy. Yeah. I just show up and, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was... But anyway, apart from all that...
What is that? Oh, this is the Aldi brand.
Tropical brat.
Tropical brass.
Tropical brast. Zero. Tropical blast. Zero sugar.
My sister actually sent me a screenshot of this to get an Aldi, and I haven't dipped my toe yet.
She's dead right, and you'd love it. You're a citrusman. You've been a citrusman since day one.
Yeah, you know it, man. You know me.
Anyway, I'm not going to ask you again, Terry.
Good? Is it good? Tell me.
Oh yeah, it's good. Yeah, yeah? It's delicious. It's citrusy. What does it taste like? Hang on. Let me give it a full. Hold on, I've lost your video.
Okay. I've already opened my Coke Zero. Okay, no, I had it with my dinner.
This is just all over the place. Oh, there you are. Okay, couldn't find the
window.
What
are you talking about?
It's nice. It's not as nice as a Coke Zero. I'll say that.
So first sip was good, second sip not so much.
A bit tart.
Oh, I can see it. I can see it in your face.
My cheeks are sore.
Yeah, that's because I've been making you laugh so much in the 2:30 we've been recording. I wanna start off this podcast giving a shout out.
I wasn't consulted about this.
No, I'm going off piste. Give a shout out to Ronan Hederman, who is a fan of the show. He has been caught rapid listening to us out in the wild, but it's always great to hear that people are actually listening to our podcast.
Yes. I'm always somewhat pleasantly surprised.
Yeah, so you know, thank you so much for listening, Ronan.
Thank you, Rodog.
Yeah, it's great. It's great. What happened was, my brother-in-law overheard him listen to a podcast and was like, I know that voice.
No way.
That's Terry.
Oh, so it was actually caught in the wild.
Yes. So, Ronan, thank you very much.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something, Terry.
Don't you point that finger at me.
I took a breathing class online, right? And
what is this?
Your face is exactly what I expected. It was this. Are I follow this account on Instagram. This Irish guy, Breathing Deadly, and it's all about
good name. You know, I love a pun.
Yes, as do I, Terry. But I was following him anyway because he's a jiu-jitsu black belt from up in East Coast Jiu-Jitsu.
Oh, is that what it's
for?
He
has his own place. He did it because he got injured doing jiu-jitsu. He had a real mad lower back pain. Anyway, so I did this class, but I thought we were just going to be sitting around. Like, it was with my jiu-jitsu class through Zoom. But like, I thought we were going to be just sitting around, just talking and breathing. But we had to like get on the floor and do all this.
Yeah, well, okay.
I wasn't ready for this, and my room wasn't ready. But anyway, when I first came on, everyone else was muted except for me, and so it was just me and him just chatting, and everyone's just sitting. I'm just looking at all the faces, just sitting, like not saying anything. And he's like, "Oh yeah, recognize that voice from the podcast." I was like, "What?"
So, there you go.
Another listener caught in the wild.
Brilliant.
Yeah, it was a long way to get to the punchline of I too had a similar
this
experience.
Small time that when we hear somebody
literally singling out at each one,
when we notice that somebody has listened to the podcast, we're like, oh, people listen.
I know.
It's great.
It is great. Thank you, folks. I'm thanking you at the start of the show instead of the end. How about that?
Have you been up to anything yourself? Watching anything?
I tell you, I haven't. Well, I didn't do anything this weekend, and it was bloody brilliant.
Nice.
Have I been watching that? No, I've started watching The Sopranos again, like I was telling you, which is brilliant. I'm on a big mafia kick at the moment.
What a show, huh?
Yeah, it's amazing.
Who's your favourite? Who's your favourite character?
You know, it's changed over the years. It might be Pauly.
See,
it was Silvio.
It used to be Silvio and Pauly for me, and now I think my favourite character is Christopher.
He's so disrespectful. I'm only in season one again, but he's fucking disrespectful.
Yeah, but if you look at the character, how he changes and grows, and like, he always has that chip on his shoulder. He always is like the runt of the litter, though.
Yeah.
You know, but I just think he's really funny. Like, I don't know, like, I was watching, I think it was a season 6 episode 1, and you know his like sponsor, the rider guy, and he's like, he just like he has two of the guys pull him out of the writing class, and he wants him to write a script for him, and he's like, I'm giving you a chance to clear your debts, he's like, your man's like, okay, if I write this, we're well all the way. He's like, listen to this big fuck here, we're well, like this tough guy, huh? Like, it's lovely.
It's great though. It's
and that's that scene with him and Adriana, like, spoilers for a show that is 20 years old, give or take. The scene she basically tells him everything that's been happening, you know, with the FBI, and he's you just see the acting when he's like, what are we gonna do? Before that, like, you just see him like disassociate almost. He's just staring off, like, while she's telling him everything.
Yeah.
And she's like, we could do this, we could do that. And then he's just like, you see his eyes moving, like, he's processing. And then it's just, he like punches her in the face and is choking her. And then you can see everything going on. Again, he hasn't said a word, but it's just all in the face.
Acting.
Yeah.
Acting without acting.
Yes.
To quote Jason.
Daddy.
But yeah, to be honest, I've had a very quiet week now, I have to say.
Just Leave it up to me to do the heavy lifting, huh?
Yeah, big time, because I've got nothing going on.
It's a new show on Sky Atlantic that I've been watching.
Yeah.
It's called Mayor of Easttown. Have you heard of this?
I've heard of it, yes.
Andy, it's a 7-episode series. Murder mystery type job, but it's very funny as well. I think you'd really like it. Like, I think it's the kind of thing that, like, Kate Winslet is the star of it, and she's fucking she's great in it. But it's all like Irish Catholic.
Okay,
it's like Pennsylvania.
Oh,
right. So, okay, and it's like there's a girl that's been missing for the past year. And then another girl, thing happens at the end of the first episode.
Yes.
And it's just like the whole, who could have done it? Who has done it?
Isn't that mad to think of? Like, I'm looking here at the ratings. It does, and it did look interesting, by the way, when I seen the ad for it. I was like, first episode, 600,000 viewers.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, it went up, I guess. By the fourth one, it's had 1 million.
But it's mad to think that, like,
that's probably good numbers these days compared to
The
Simpsons was in decline at a mere 9 million a week.
Yeah, exactly. Because everything is on demand or like catch up, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, that it's like they mightn't be watching it HBO Sunday night.
Do they still use a Nielsen rating system, or can they?
I do think they do, but they also have another thing, another part of it is that, like, people watching it on their TiVo or whatever, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah. Surely now, the fact that it's all digital, they can source if it's been watched or not.
Well, that's the thing, though. The whole thing with Netflix and Amazon, they're like, they don't release their numbers, but they say, it's the most watched show we've ever had. Like, you know, or like,
prove it.
Yeah, exactly. They don't release the numbers. Or if they do, it's very strategic when they release it.
Right. You know what okay. I mean?
But this, I think you'd really like this, Andy.
Okay.
Speaking of ratings, just I don't know if you watched Line of Duty. I have not.
I also have not.
But the finale got 15 million viewers.
I don't understand it.
I mean, I tuned out after the first season.
It just seems like I'm sorry, but it just seems like that kind of average, like British cop drama.
It's,
like
it's masquerading as prestige TV is what I would say.
Yeah, like even the clips that I see, I'm like, yeah. I mean, it's not that it's not that you wouldn't see every week for some reason. Like it seems like people have sort of jumped on it. I'm sure if I watched it, I'd like it. But
I'm gonna say this: it might be controversial, whatever. But it's TV for.
Say it. Say it.
I don't know whether to say stupid or dumb
say
watchers.
It. Say what
it's
you
just
think.
It's like okay, yeah. I don't. There's not loads going on here, so I can just sit down and watch it. Like and I'm how would I say this again? I'm not trying to put anybody on blast, but I'm always skeptical of people
specifically
come up to me
who?
And say Line of Duty's the best show ever. I'm like, mm-hmm. Yeah, and I'm like. Yeah, I don't recommend anything else to me, pal, okay? That's what I'll say to you.
Yeah, what that means is I've silently registered to disregard all future recommendations from you.
That's your yardstick. Line of fucking duty.
Yeah, it was just kind of one of those ones that everyone's gone mad about. But I just, and to be honest, I've seen clips on Gogglebox because I watch Gogglebox and they watch it on that every week. So I know a little bit about what's going on. And I know why the ending was so disappointing to everyone. All that, like, but to be honest, like the 5 minutes that you see through Gogglebox is
enough for you.
Yeah, like that's fine.
I find Gogglebox a real interesting thing because you do get like a cross section of the British public.
Yeah, I love it. I have to say, yeah. I watch it.
Like, it is, how would I say, kind of like ASMR TV viewing. You know what I mean? You're just like I'll just relax and watch Gogglebox. It's not going to get me up. It's not going to get me down. It's just going to get me...
But you know what? I find it kind of does, because I kind of find...
Does it get you angry? Like,
no, but if they're watching... I'll tell you what gets me angry on Gogglebox, when they overreact. Like, something scary will happen, and there'll be a proper just... like, on their chair. Like, okay, just, like, imagine actually watching... Imagine watching TV with someone who someone goes boo on a movie, and they go... Like that's
no thanks.
That would be really annoying. But like it's more the fact that you're watching along with them, so like you're forming your own opinions on whatever news story it is, or something like an old classic movie. Oh, that was great, or something. It's usually something horrible. But
like, the world we live in, mate.
Yeah, exactly. Anything to do with like, there's always one gross out one. I never watched the vet ones and like the any cuts slicing into people and all that, you know, any of those shows, surgery shows.
Now, yeah, I hate that. Faye used to watch that show, Botched.
Oh, couldn't.
Did you ever see it?
I know what it is.
First of all, the two guys, the surgeons, are fucking creeps.
I know.
And then it's like, I have to
complete
see.
Complete creeps. Yeah.
I think he was on one of the, like, Real Housewives.
What's one his name? Do you know it?
I don't know it. He just, I don't know. Faye watches some of those Real Housewives shows as well, and like I'm like, that's the fucker from Botched. He's getting his nose in here as well.
Oh, I see him, and it's some nose.
Yeah,
if I may say. Anyway, what else you got? What else have you been watching?
We had to do a bit of, well, look, Bonnie had a bit of a temperature on Sunday and yesterday. I say a bit. It was fucking 39.9 at stages. Like,
oh god!
I think it's a throat infection. So we had to go to the doctor, and then he was like saying, "Doesn't think it's COVID, thankfully, but it was go. Don't do antibiotics just yet, and if it still hasn't gone away, then you know."
Yeah.
But thankfully, the temperature was down today, so it was great. But on Sunday, we were like, we couldn't do anything with her. Like, she was just real out of sorts. You know, I'm sure you've been there with Joni as well. Yeah. Like, so we're just like watching super simple songs on YouTube. Then we watched a couple of movies, and I started to watch Onward with her. Did you watch Onward?
I did.
I know we didn't finish it because she kind of lost interest.
Yeah.
But I really enjoyed the premise of it, and I like halfway through it, I want to go back to it. I was really enjoying it. I have to say.
I thought Onward was good, not great. I would say.
Yeah, but it is that kind of Pixar at the moment.
Yeah, that kind of sums up what we were talking about. Like, it sums up Pixar at the moment of, they're not quite on the money. It's not like Pixar didn't, they used to not make anything but excellent movies.
Yeah, what was the last great Pixar movie?
Hang on a sec. I'm sorry, you know, I've been Googling a lot already here. List of, because I won't know it offhand. List of Pixar movies. Okay, let's see. Their last very good one. See, I want to say the answer is Coco, but I haven't seen it. I only seen like the first half an hour of it.
I'm with you there. I've heard it's great, but I haven't. We haven't taken the plunge.
You know what I thought was great? The Good Dinosaur.
Oh, Andy, come on. That's like, that's them at their low, I think.
You know, I think I have a special place for it because that was the first thing we watched when we downloaded Disney Plus, or when we got Disney Plus during lockdown. And it was such a nice, like, it was like, because it was like,
it's a nice movie, but it's nothing special for me.
Okay, yeah, fair enough. See, it was a nice movie. It's the start of lockdown. Disney Plus is here. Like, okay, you know, things Disney are going to be all right.
Save us. Our overlords, Disney, are throwing us breadcrumbs.
I would say Inside Out would be...
That would be my answer, is the last great one.
I was only
one.
Watching it actually the other day. I watched the first
I tell you, that scene with Richard Kind fades into oblivion. That gets me every time. Like,
You were watching, was one of those movies, The Mitchells versus...
I watched that on my own. I watched that when I was working from home on Friday. And I tell you, you didn't warn me, Andy. Literally... 10 minutes in or whatever.
I didn't know what bit you were talking about.
Oh, it's a bit where... Welling like, up. It's there. He's looking at his old... first of all, I think it's a really good movie.
Yeah, it's very good, isn't it?
But he's like... He finds his old camcorder and it's like... It's showing how they used to be best friends. You know, he's taking her on trips in the woods and stuff like that. And then the bit when he's like going to camp. And she doesn't want to go to camp. And the dad gets out and is like asking her why... And she just kind of like puts her head into his knees. And Bonnie does that to me all the time. She just come up to me in the kitchen and like just put her head into my knees or at the back of my knees. And I was like, oh, Jesus. Like
trying to give you an elbow to the back of the knee.
exactly. way to ruin the moment. Like, no, it's a comfort thing.
That's nice.
Yeah. So that, and then the bit at the end, a few bits at the end where like some. I don't want to ruin it for anybody who hasn't seen it, but like, there's a scene where you get the origin of a cabin.
Oh yeah,
you know,
yeah,
and
yeah.
That got me. And then you know what actually got me as well, and I
you're realized, a mess.
I didn't cry. I will say I kept it together.
Okay,
KIT, keep it together. But the bit that kind of and it triggered. Emotion in me was Cigarose was used.
Yes,
and I was like, "Oh, remember Cigarose?
Hadn't
like
heard
the
that
biggest
song
band?
In a long time.
Great fucking like,
yeah."
So that now, was, I was like,
"It's interesting that you say that, right?" Because I completely forgot. I watched School of Rock on Sunday.
Hell yeah! Went to that in the cinema.
What a movie! By
Best
the way,
Jack Black performance.
Yeah,
my favorite anyway.
It's such a good movie. I absolutely love it, and I forget every time. But I found myself getting emotional at the end of School of Rock, literally, and it was nothing. It's when the kids come out on stage and then they're rocking, and it's the classic cheesy like cut to the parents, and the parents realize that they're like, oh,
the parents
you know,
have
boy.
Been protesting the whole time. They're like, they're brilliant. Oh my god!
And then so by the end, I don't know what it is. I was like, I don't know if it's just an age thing.
I think it's a being a parent.
Yeah, it has to be.
But that's a great movie too. But the movie we watched that she did sit through was Happy Feet.
Oh.
Have you seen Happy Feet?
The worst of the three.
This is a wild movie, man. This is all over the place. Like,
I have seen it, but it's not good.
No, I mean...
I was surprised.
It's weird that like the guy who directed Mad Max Fury Road and all the Mad Maxes directed Happy Feet 1 and 2 and Babe, Pig in the City. Like,
what?
But like there's wild stuff going on. Like the whole thing with like Faye's like, I don't really like this. They're too sexy or like, it's too sexual with the penguins. And it's like, it's a mating dance. Like, you know, but then it kind of turns into like we're overfishing, you know, we're destroying their environment.
I don't think I finished it, to be honest. Yeah, it's very...
He ends up in, like, the zoo at one point, because he swims after, like...
Oh, yeah.
He's like, the aliens can help us realize... He thinks humans are aliens.
Okay.
Ends up in a zoo, starts dancing in the zoo, and then they send him home. And they follow him home, and he basically becomes the savior because, like, they realize that they've been overfishing and they're going to destroy the penguin population. So then there's no... They ban fishing where they are and all
Sorry,
this
sounds... We've pulled just, better movies in from Pitch It in H.
I know. And I'm
pitching
just like,
each other movies. We like, pulled out
I,
better than
I
that.
I never thought... Like, Faye was saying, like, I actually preferred it when it was overly sexual penguins dancing with each other. Then it got this real political shit going on.
It doesn't know what it is.
But then there's also a bit in it where it's like the elders are going on about how it's like... We believe in the great wind. The great wind will bring it. Like, religion is thrown in there as well. And, that, like...
What are they doing?
Your man, Elijah Wood, becomes an outcast because he...
How long is this movie? Four hours?
It's like 2 hours. Like, I was like... And, like, she was, like, pottering around, which, because there's singing and dancing in it...
Yeah.
She'd start kind of moving her feet and stuff. I was like, oh, yeah, look, yeah. He's moving his feet. but it was a movie. No.
I found... Have you watched Minions yet?
No, and I won't.
I tell you what, if you want a movie for Bonnie, Minions.
It won't take now. I don't think. Maybe in a year or two, I think.
Okay, I'll tell you what. There's very limited talking in it. They just go beep boop or whatever, and like they just emote through their face. Yeah. And there's a lot of just hitting and running around and all this. I'm telling you, and it's also a brilliant movie as well.
I watched. A couple of them. I can't even remember which Despicable Me's.
They're all good, but Minions is better than all of them.
Yeah, but Faye's not a fan of these Minions, and I'm not either. TBH.
Well, you got against the Minions.
They're like creeps, man.
They're funny.
Yeah. I just want to talk about two more things. I meant to mention it because Mayor of Easttown, the director of that TV series, also did a movie that I bought on Blu-ray, a blind buy, you will say. A little while ago, called Compliance. Have you ever heard of this movie?
I, of course, have not.
It's a true story, and it stars your boy from... Fuck, what was the name of that thing?
Yes.
My boy. Not Funny Games. And what was the name of that? There's two like guys, they end up in David Kochner's house, and he's like, I'll give you $100 if you, you know, put your hand through my table or whatever like that.
Like Games Night?
It's two deadbeat guys that are like, you told me about the fucking movie. Jesus Christ.
No, I don't know.
this is great content, isn't it?
Two deadbeat guys in someone's...
They go to his house and he's like, how about this? Me and my wife, I'll give you money to, you know, basically...
Don't know what you're talking about.
Cheap Thrills.
Oh, okay.
You told me about this movie. Cheap Thrills.
Cheap Thrills. Hang on.
Now you don't remember?
Oh, I don't think I watched this.
You told me about this
movie. I told you about it.
No, you told me to watch it.
I don't think I've seen this.
The movie on top of that is Compliance, and it's about this is a real thing that happened across the States where a worker in a fast food restaurant, like a manager in a fast food restaurant, gets a call from somebody pretending to be a policeman and says, we have somebody here who said your employee stole money from her.
Right.
And it's like literally... How far do you go to respect authority? He's saying to the manager, you need to detain this person in the back until we can get a uniformed officer over there. You have to strip search her, and it goes on and on and on. And like the whole thing is like, you're kind of looking at it, you're like, fuck, what would I do in this situation?
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's very, very good. It's called Compliance.
Okay.
So, but it's a true story. Apparently, he was doing like this is just one case that they take on. But then it's like when somebody's investigating it later on, they're like, oh yeah, this place in Boston. He's like, no, like, we're in Philadelphia. And he's right. like, oh, well, I've got a similar complaint from here. And it was like, you know, 20 different places that he was he's at home ringing them.
Yeah.
And he's getting off on this. Like, you're making a sandwich. But right.
And who's the guy doing this?
Your boy from Cheap Thrills is Which the guy one? Doing it. Not Ethan Embry, the other guy.
Pat Healy,
yes. How's my stomach taste?
I don't know this guy. What's going on?
Okay, last one. I want to talk before we get into the scene.
Just moving on.
Yeah. What's the movie called 99 Homes?
Yeah.
Good movie, man. Good fucking movie. This is a movie about the housing crisis, right, in America.
Come on now.
No, about basically this lawyer, this real estate broker who works for the government, right? So, like, say your house is foreclosed on.
Uh-huh.
He buys the house for the government. They pay him, like, he takes the house or whatever.
Yeah.
And essentially, like, he went from a regular real estate guy to almost a millionaire because the business was so good, because people couldn't afford to keep homes. Up. Yeah, and it was happening all the time. And it's kind of like, Michael Shannon plays this character. He's fucking deadly. And the main character in it is Andrew Garfield, who gets evicted by your man. Evicted by the government. But he ends up going to work for your man. So he kind of becomes the thing that he hated at the start of the movie.
Right.
Really good. Really, really good. The ending is not amazing, but I still came away from it being like, at times it's kind of like a Scorsese movie where you're like, you know, Andrew Garfield's rise from unemployed roofer to like guy in flash suits, and you know.
Oh, right. I do like a rags to riches story.
Yeah, and then it's kind of, you know, how much of your soul are you willing to sacrifice, that kind of thing.
Now, if I'm not mistaken, Terry, that was the one that was screened in the special presentation section of the 2014 Toronto International Film Festival.
Yes, of course. Yeah, very good. Yeah, Andy. You've done your homework.
And it's also, if I may, starring Michael Shannon, Michael Corbett Shannon, quite an interesting face. I think you'll agree he has.
Michael Shannon is a fucking brilliant actor.
Yeah.
You might remember him from Groundhog Day, when he got tickets to WrestleMania, honey. That was his first acting role. Is the guy in Groundhog Day. Bill Murray, he was getting married. Bill Murray gives him and his wife tickets.
Fred?
No. Ned, it's me, Ned Ryerson. Ned the Head. What a great needle movie. Nose Ned.
He was also in
Doozy.
Again, if I'm not mistaken, he was also in, was it a Superman movie or something?
He was in Man of Steel, played Zod.
Zod, yeah, I was going to say.
Yeah, I'm sure you were. So, anyway, Andy, can I talk to you about The Simpsons, please? You wouldn't be
sure.
Caught
me off guard here. Can I talk to you about The Simpsons, more importantly?
I guess.
More specifically, Terry, can I talk to you about the 6th episode of The Simpsons' 8th season, A Millhouse Divided?
Sure.
Well, in that case, you'll be knowing that it aired on the Fox Network December 1st, 1996. Hmm. It was directed by Stephen Dean Moore and is the only episode for which Steve Tompkins has sole writing credit.
That's got to be phony.
Steve Tompkins?
Yeah.
Hello, Mr. Tompkins.
555.
Originally, the episode also focused on the divorce's effects on Milhouse, and there was a subplot that involved Bart being jealous of Milhouse and wishing that Marge and Homer would also separate. Several scenes were written and animated, but ultimately they were cut because the script was very long. Although I think they revisited that in a later season. I don't know the name of it now, although it was here on my notes. I've lost it. But
there's one where like Milhouse goes. He moves away or something after they split up, and I think Bart.
Millhouse of Sea and Sand.
Sand and Fog, even. Millhouse of Sand and Fog. Great title, you know.
Yes.
Um, because, you know, the movie starring Ben Kingsley of House and Sand and Fog.
Of course I know
House and Sand and Fog. Yeah, of course you do, yeah. Good movie.
Who
good
are movie. You talking to? You think I don't know the House of Sand and Fog?
Andy, you know me. of course I'm going to main event WrestleMania. Or whatever the fuck.
Fucking loser.
Yeah. From the Cockroach King. Folks, if you don't know what we're talking about, if you get on over on our Patreon or our Beyond the Mat episode, it'll be crystal clear.
You're just talking about the biggest loser you've ever seen on TV.
worth it alone. Yeah. The $5 for that, just to listen to that section of that one episode.
Now, the third act of this episode shifts the focus from the Van Houtens to Homer and Marge because the writers felt that tertiary characters or secondary characters could not carry an audience's interest for an entire episode. And our old pal Bill Oakley has said that he felt that the episode would have failed if they stuck with the Van Houtens for the third act. And most of the writers
completely agree with them. And that is a major failing of The Simpsons as the years have gone on, I would say. One of their key ones.
Good point.
They lean on the tertiary, good word, characters far too much, and to the point where, and I remember it always was one of my favorite episodes, Behind the Laughter. Do you remember that one?
Oh yeah.
And it was like, Gene Freakham's like, well, like, if he could have an episode, you know, hey, I can have a catchphrase even, like, wah, wah.
But I wonder though if it's just a case that by like season 18, you're probably like, well,
by season 11. 12 even, you run out of stuff. Like
that's what, like, it's unheard of stories and episodes and subplots.
Yeah, it's unheard of for a TV show to be running this long.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
it's true.
Because it's an animated one, yeah, you can do it, but like, there'd be no sitcom that would run this long. You know what I mean?
It's run so long that it's just become a weird, like, that whole thing of Homer being a teenager in the 90s.
Yeah.
That episode
hate it.
Recently.
Hate it. hate it.
I hate it. Well, yeah, I thought it was stupid, frankly. But
stupid.
If they're not aging in the show, like, what else can they do? You know what I mean? Because now it is 2021. Mm. You know what I mean?
They're in some weird time vortex.
It's very, very weird. I dare not think about it for too long, to be honest, Terry.
But on the flip side of that, it's like when you did Rugrats. When they grew up, boy, was that a stinker of a show.
Was that a permanent show? I thought it was just like an episode of the Rugrats, no?
No, they did a whole TV show where it was like they're in middle school or high school or whatever. Yeah, no thanks. I don't care about Chucky trying to get his dick wet, all right?
I fucking hated that show as well.
Rugrats?
Oh my god.
I loved it.
When that came on before digital TV, when you don't know what's coming on next, and then I'm like, right, it's whatever, on the hour. What's it going to be? And then you see the Rugrats music playing. I'm like, oh.
If you watched it now, I think you would really relate to the dad. The dad. Stu and his Tony Drew.
Oh, yeah. Last thing I have about this is
you look like him too, actually.
Excuse me? No, I gotta Google it. What's his name? Stu?
Stu Pickles. Maybe you look more like Drew.
Let me see Drew. It's great content. I'm definitely Drew. He's got the glasses. Anyway, the last thing is, I've lost my spot. The idea for the dinner party came from Oakley, who wanted to have a party similar to the one in The War of the Simpsons, if you remember from season 2, the one where Homer's like,
not those peanuts, the ones at the bottom.
For the second half of the episode, Luann was redesigned to look more youthful and was given a new outfit. A big name singer was originally sought to sing Can I Borrow a Feeling over the end credits. The writers wanted Sheryl Crow, but she declined and the concept was dropped, replaced by a sax solo.
I would have loved if they were going for somebody like, I don't know, instead of going Sheryl Crow, go like,
who'd you have?
Not
sing
quite
that one.
Not quite Rod Stewart, but like somebody that
raspy voiced man.
Yeah, kind of. You know what I mean? Like,
Rod Stewart's a good show, to be honest. I can hear it.
He's too sexy, though. I can't hear Rod because I can't.
He is a sexy man.
He's too sexy to be singing that loser song. Hey, yeah, Billy Joel.
I wouldn't put him he's in that loser sexy, category. Like, no, but he's not a loser. Well,
it's a lot no, he's not songs, a loser. But a lot of his songs are about being losers, though. Like, you know,
are they?
Yeah.
He's a blue collar Joe. That's what it is.
Yeah, but you know.
I don't know. I don't even know what I'm talking about. Yeah. the last thing I have here, Nielsen rating
it's
of
8.3. It's always the fucking last thing with you, isn't it? Like,
I've got notes. It's all I have. I've actually prepared this time. A Nielsen rating of 8.3, equivalent to 8 million homes. Mere fucking
peanuts.
It's
too fucking late. Get him. Graham Nash could do it.
Yeah. Speaking of pathetic losers.
Yeah. Fuck you.
I can't, and you know, when I got into Crosby, Stills, Nash, I was like, Graham Nash is like the sweetest guy. Like, I'm like, oh, he's so nice, it's and friendly, and I'm so happy for him that his dreams came true. And then it's like, you see him now, and I'm like, oh, he's
Stills
so bitter.
Is the one. Stills is the one you want to hitch your wagon to. Quiet, yeah, Stills doesn't is cool. make any waves.
Yeah.
You know, like, fucking Crosby's an asshole. Graham Nash has lost his mind. Like,
Crosby's still an asshole on Twitter. I follow him on Twitter. Oh, it's good viewing, though. But anyway.
We'll be getting to your notes.
Please. Let me just open them here. First note is, I was a fan of the meatball standoff between the baby and the pet.
She has a name, Andy.
Margaret. It was quite similar to situations that I got going on here at home, where the cat and the dog are
nice.
just waiting for the other one to sort of make the move.
Just like real life, huh?
And because that my dog is a sheep dog, this herding instinct, he just gets in front of her all the time like this. Where are you going? And then she'll try and go the other way. He'll get in front and just stare. Here. Yeah. It's going to be so annoying. My next note is just of how great marriage is. I don't
First
know.
First of all, marriage again, like,
again, one of the biggest, like, it's the whole thing where they're talking about, like, why can't we eat out of one of those long, I can't remember what the line is.
She's like, he was like, if you wanted us to be neater, you'd serve us out one long bowl. She's like, you're talking about a trough. You are not going to eat from a trough. And another thing, it's only 5:15. Why are you in your underwear? Yeah. And it just like pans out to like Bart lying. First of all, lying on his stomach in his underwear is a great
that actually,
touch. Like.
Yeah, and that actually, every time I think of that, even though I don't really know if we did it all that much in our house, it just reminds me
I
of
have
being
a memory
a kid,
of it.
You
like,
know what I mean?
Of being, maybe not eight, but younger than eight, being like, don't want to wear my clothes.
Yeah, just running around, lying around, like doing
Be
whatever.
Free.
But when Marge is saying to Lisa, where she's like Lisa's distracted by the TV, and she's like, how's school? What? School?
It's not time for school.
I know it's not.
She's so frustrated off the bat. And then it's like, I'm going into the dining room to have a conversation. Anyone who wants to join me is welcome. And then it's just, first of all, the footsteps out is great. It's like, hello, Marge. How's the family? It's like, I don't want to talk about it. Mind your own business. The Homer bit at the end, and the keep it down in there, everybody. Yeah. It's a good capper.
Yeah, disregarding Marge essentially. And they go, oh well. First of all, then they're in bed, and she's saying, "Is this how you pictured married life?" Just kind of a like it is. It's one of those episodes.
It's relatable.
It's a relatable topic. You know, it's a real topic. And Homer, I just like how content. Like, of course, Homer's content. He's, you know,
pretty much. Except we drove around the van solving mysteries.
Yeah,
like Scooby Doo is his life.
And so they decide they want to have a dinner party. And one thing, like this episode, the amount of memes that this episode alone. We'll get to it as we go through them, but my God! But Stoner's Pot Palace is a particular
great.
great sight. It's one of the best signs, I think, in the show. Definitely worth mentioning.
The good gag of Otto leaving, of course.
Yeah. I mean, it is flagrant false advertising. Yeah.
But I love Marge going through. It's like, it's not a dinner party without a melon baller. And we'll need a citrus zester, a ravioli crimper. Oh, an oyster mallet. Made in USA. Thank you.
I love that. Like, what could go wrong with an oyster mallet?
It's a mallet.
It's just a thing. Yeah. Thank you.
Marge sees the punch bowl that she likes.
So they get the punch. She gets the one. Like, first of all, I just love the amount of effort she's putting in here. Where it's
This whole kitchen scene where she's like, you know, the goo and everything.
Great ideas with all of the gags. You know?
Go put doilies under the coasters. Hurry. Yeah. The dishwasher has the toilet seats in them.
Love that.
Go screw these back on. And then it'll give me another time to put another glaze on the halves.
Great.
Very good.
Just joke after joke. Great visual gags all around. Great ideas.
The visual gag of the candle is one that's always stuck with me. It's like,
The candle?
The two candles. One big, one small. And then she like, hop, two bites out of it. And then just has the two perfectly
aligned.
Matched up then, like.
I like the fact that Homer, like, they're all ready and Homer's playing racing cars and
Skeletrics in his underwear. Just gotta put my shoes on.
I love how frantically he runs up the stairs.
I love that. Yeah. Him in the background of the shot, like.
Yeah. It's not even the main.
This whole thing as well of Bart being the doorman, it's like, and it just flows so well, I think, where it's like, Reverend Lovejoy doesn't have a coat. Should I let him in? Because she's like, take everybody's coats.
Yeah.
Like, my coat was stolen at last week's interfaith banquet, so I helped myself to a couple of their better umbrellas. Like, such a petty man.
I didn't pick up on that at all.
Yeah. Then the Hibberts arrive.
Yeah.
And
I just. The Hibberts, first of all. I mean,
but like, where he's like.
Great.
I don't believe fur is murder, but paying for it sure is.
I tell you, Julius Hibbert has got some skeletons in his cupboard.
Yeah, absolutely.
100%.
But when they go to close the door, and this is a great, I was just appreciating the touch of, like, this sets it up that, like, they go to close the door and, like, Kirk barges in. Or, you know, like,
it sets the tone.
Maybe it just sets the tone of, like, what a loser he is. Because they never tell you before that he's the ultimate loser before this episode.
Yeah, true.
But, like, from the start of this, it's like he almost has the door closed on him, is the first thing that you see. Yeah. Like, you know, they weren't even noticed.
And then, and his shirt is a bit disheveled, like, it's not done up all the way and all that. I like the whole, the first sort of inkling was,
put her face on.
What's? Oh yeah, the eyebrows.
What you don't,
Luann? Where it's like, you should have seen Kirk deal with those teenagers.
What is she doing here? Like, first of all, like, who egged her Bonneville? Should I ask the girls some bacon? Maybe I can have a decent breakfast for once. And it was just like, oh.
It's a good comeback.
Yeah. And then, so. Kirk, I cracked up with this. What Kirk says, he hasn't eaten that well since he's been in the army, and then she's like, "Or that noisily." He's like, "All right, that's it. That's enough.
Who wants to play a game?"
But just the way that, like, I never really picked up on it before. Like, his like snap there.
Yeah,
he's like, "That's enough for you."
like what if they'd have left it? Like,
yeah.
And they, and when they're playing Pictionary?
Yeah, Pictionary.
Like, Ned just draws these dots. She's like, cornstarch. Oh, all right again. It's good for keeping down the urges.
And then the whole famous thing, like,
dignity.
The dignity, but it's like, I'm not as smart as you, Kirk. We didn't all go to Gudger College. It's dignity. You don't even know dignity when you see it. But then she's like, you're spitting. And he's like, okay, genius. Why don't you draw dignity? Like, it is so off the rails so quickly.
I know.
I mean, it has to be, I guess, because he only got 22 minutes, but Jesus.
Come on, Luann. You know what this is.
Kirk, I don't know what it is.
Oy. It could not be more simple, Luann. You want me to show this to the cat and have the cat tell you what it is? Because the cat's going to get it.
I'm sorry, I'm not as smart as you, Kirk. We didn't all go to Gudger College.
It's dignity! Gah! Don't you even know dignity when you see it?
Kirk, you're spitting.
Okay, genius, why don't you draw dignity? Oh, that's dignity, all right.
Worthy of Webster's.
Well, it's no wonder I can't draw dignity. I gave it up when I married her.
Now, Kirk, it's only a game. Sometimes we...
Ah, cram it, Churchy.
Maybe we should all have a few drinks.
I'd have a drink, but it might loosen my tongue.
You want to talk? Go ahead, Luann, talk. I want you to tell him one of your little bedtime stories, huh? Like the one about how rotten it is to be married to a loser.
The whole thing where he's like, took a cracker company.
A man whose father-in-law gave him a sweet job as manager of a cracker factory. And like, home was like, boring. A man who's complete lack of business sense and managerial impotence. Like, ooh,
here we go.
Sent the number one cracker factory in town into a tie for sixth with Table Time and Allied Biscuit.
I just love that Allied Biscuit.
First of all, I love the idea of the six cracker factories in Springfield. Six. And like, they have a ranking system as well. Like,
tied six as well. And what else I got here? Though Marge tries to get Lisa. Smooth the mirror. She's like, Lisa, why don't you come sing for us? You're right, Grand. Comes right in, like, ready to march.
That's been prepared, definitely. Yeah. Like, I hope you're happy now. You got the kids singing.
And like, then obviously it ends, like she says, I want a divorce, and
I love how, like,
trying to save face.
He's surprised. Yeah, he's like, yeah. A divorce? Then he looks around the room, reads the room, and he's like, sure, you got it, Toots. And here's a picture even you can figure out. It's a door. Use it. And the picture of the door, it's just brilliant writing. That
I
it's
love
like,
it.
Like a really bad drawing of a door.
Yeah.
You know?
It's right, the handle's right in the middle.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think if that argument didn't happen in front of everyone, he mightn't have been so bullish about, like, you know, you got it.
Yeah.
But anyway. And I love the scene afterwards.
They're the perfect couple because they've always been kind of hanging around the periphery, you know, of stories.
Yeah.
And it's the perfect one to implode because, you know, Milhouse is kind of a major...
Yeah, you don't need them to be together.
Yeah, but Milhouse is a major minor character, so you know it's going to affect him. Mm. So that's a good story there in itself.
Yeah, yeah, that's up for him.
You can... kind of how to say, like, add a bit of depth to Kirk. Luann less so, but like, Kirk, this incarnation of Kirk that they've started this episode with is rife for jokes
comedy.
And, you know, story. There's a lot of story in that guy, the way he's been acting in this episode.
Yeah,
you know, there's a lot of stuff
you can just
there.
Because you know he's that kind of character now, so you have loads of different things that you can do with him.
It's irreversible. You can never go back.
Yeah,
really. Like,
it was a good move though. Mm. But I just love the scene after this where everyone all leaves and it's awkward, and then you just have Homer in bed looking all dignified, reading a book in bed with his glasses on his nose.
Yeah,
it's like, I think that went well. But like, he's just so, like, you know, like, not a bother on him. And Marge is so worried.
When they go to get in the same car as well, and she speeds off, and Kirk's just standing there like, what?
What?
Yeah, and like, when they're in bed, you're saying, like, she's like, I can't believe they split up at our party. And Marge, she's like, I shouldn't have served those North Korean fortune cookies. They were so insulting. You are a coward. No one likes to hear that. Homer's response is just stop blaming yourself. Blame yourself once and move on.
I have to say, for this episode, this was the episode where I was remembering the gags and taking notes so furiously that I think I was taking notes for longer than I was actually looking at the TV. Do you know what I mean?
It's, yeah.
They were coming so thick and fast. Mm,
that's the sign of a good one, I think, to be honest. Like.
And then you get to...
the bus?
Kirk's... Well, I was going to say Kirk's complex or whatever it is.
Well, just before we get there, there's a couple of scenes I want to talk about. Because the school bus is when, you know, Nelson's like, hey, you're
oh, fault. Yeah, he's yeah,
like,
yeah.
And like Milhouse already has a bit of an attitude where he's like, aren't you going to say ha ha?
Mm.
And like, oh, by no means. You know, Nelson gets kind of deep.
Finally nice.
Yeah. By the end, her breath was so fresh, she wasn't really my mother anymore. And I love Kearney being like, ah, you'll do fine. My divorce was tough on my kid, but he got over it. The little tiny Kearney. Like,
the voice of Ralph.
Yeah. I sleep in a drawer.
Classic line. I feel like that's quite a meme as well. Something like that. I sleep in a drawer. There's some incarnations of that I've seen.
When Marge is with Luann and she's like, forget everything you know about Luann.
Actually, I don't really know you that well.
Forget it, Marge. She's gone. Presto, changeo, kaboom, sweet Fanny Adams. And like the fact that she's like pouring, you know, gas on his
clothes.
Like you think
she's just being sane, just packing up his clothes. Yeah. But like she just pours the gasoline on top.
And then we get to Casa Nova.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah, that's the apartment complex.
It's such... It's so depressing.
Yeah.
He's there and it's in a vest and shorts with a beer and it's just he's trying to.
He doesn't have a bathroom.
No.
That's a great line.
Like down the hall or something.
He's like, today I drank a beer in the bathroom, and Homer's like, the one down the hall. Yeah.
Do you remember that place that I used to have in Fairview? And the bathroom was on Addison Road.
Yeah.
And the bathroom, you had to go out into the hall to use the bathroom. Do you remember? But like it was just ours, but it wasn't technically.
Oh, yeah.
It was out into the main area to get in there. Yeah, so every time you'd be having a shower and all, you'd be like running back in because it's like you're just out. Fucking nightmare place that was. And
you were there for a bit though, weren't you?
We were there for about a year, I think. But like it was one of these first we lied about the dog, or we just said we didn't say we had one, and then like we kept trying to hide him all the time, and then the landlord was like this old guy. He would just show up every week and just cut the grass out the back, which is right outside our kitchen
window. You could see in, like,
and then he set up a whole kennel for him. This I think the our neighbors, the was like some old guy and some Brazilian woman, and she was like his like thing on the side or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
And they had a place which was upstairs. It was just very, very weird. Anyway, boy, am I glad I'm out of there. I don't know how we get onto that, but...
You brought it up, me. So, the whole racing car bed, I mean, that... Yeah.
It's just his delivery. Like, he doesn't even know he's being mean. Yeah. He's like, I sleep in a big bed with my wife.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And then your man shows up... It didn't even have a name. Oh, is it Jerry? Yeah.
Yeah.
He's like, hey, what's going on? He's like, a patio party? He's like, oh, possum drowned in the pool. Do you have any garbage bags? None of them have garbage. There's like 10 of them there. Like,
I know. Just a bunch of losers. Yeah. And the fact that like he doesn't even say goodbye. He's like, just throw it over the wall.
Close the door. Like,
okay. And I like the way it just goes from bad to worse because he's like, I'm a superstar at the cracker factory. And then you
the
just,
line
it's,
reading.
It's classic setup. You're letting me go. That
line reading. You're letting me go. Crackers are a family food. Happy families. Maybe single people eat crackers. We don't know. Frankly, we don't know. It's a market we could do without.
I just love like,
how, this, like so, I'm sure that they could justify it by saying, you know, the failings. Of you know, they've gone from first to joint sixth.
But yeah,
you can't fire somebody for getting a divorce.
Getting a divorce. Crackers are a family food. Yeah. What a corrupt place.
It's like, so that's it after 20 years. So long, good luck.
I don't recall saying good luck.
This guy is so great. Look, this is a great design of him as well. Like,
yeah,
you know,
Just like square, you know, like nerd boss.
Milhouse is losing it a bit, like.
And I guess this is probably one of the scenes or one of the directions they were planning to go, because he's driving around in a new car, and they probably had more to do with that, but like you said, it was cut for time.
Like when she's like, "Do you want to drive that inside?" He's like, "Yes." He's becoming like a bit spoiled brat-ish.
And she's just letting him away with it. All right, my sweet, sweet treasure. Yeah. But the
God, I miss you, Lulu.
Yeah. God, I miss you, Lulu.
It's only been 3 hours.
What was his name? Pyro?
Pyro.
Yeah.
Chase is his actual name.
Oh, okay. But and then he's like, here, bring
during,
a chair.
During the week, he's just your standard workaday stuntman.
I love the fact that Homer, like, he breaks the chair on his back. He's like, cool. And like, just the setup. Like, what's funny about it is that you see Homer in the bath for a few seconds, just enjoying his bath. Like, you don't even see Bart. And Bart's just so, like, confused as to why he's even annoyed. But that's another meme that's used a lot. Yeah.
But Homer's there. He's like, we're going to see Spalding Gray with Luann and Chase. Like, that doesn't sound like something I'd say.
Yeah. And he's just proper, like, I never really picked up on that the first time, that he's just like, they made plans.
Yeah, and he's like,
and
no.
She's ready, like, to go. And he's just like, I'm not going.
Yeah, fair enough. Like,
goes to Moe's.
Yeah, he sees Kirk with Starla.
She's going to help me launch my singing career.
Yeah. When she first, I don't know what it is, her drinking the shot glass
with the cigarette in it.
Cigarette, so good.
I know, just a little sizzle.
And then it's like her voice, like, I think it's Tress MacNeille,
that executive voice.
Where it's your one. Yeah. It's Belle from last week. She's like,
yes.
Can I get the keys to the car, lover? I feel like changing wigs. And then it's just, you hear it peeling out, like, oh.
Poor Kirk. Yeah. And, like, his demo tape gets around. I love, first of all, I just love.
Demo tape.
Yeah, like, first of all, just even that line, my demo tape. Like, he's like 50. Like, what's he doing?
And then, it is a proper, like, midlife crisis, like, because the car and all, like.
And the picture on it and all, it's just him, like. But Homer, I just love Homer's reaction, where he just can't stop. He's like, oh, that's your picture on the front.
Go ahead, Homer, laugh at me.
Brilliant. That's so good. Yeah.
So then, like, Kirk actually gets a bit real here, and he's, you know, took her for granted. I do like that. He's like, never once helped out around the house. I could have stayed in shape for her. He's like,
and for yourself.
Yeah, I love Homer just being that, like, he's describing Homer to a T, like, and him not realizing it. And you get the whole, he comes home, doesn't smell dinner.
And the hot dogs are thawing in the kitchen sink.
Yeah, he's like, dear Homer.
And, like, so he freaks out at the fact that there's hot dogs there.
Great.
I love the fact that, like, Lisa, yeah, go on, yeah.
And then, like, the animation of one of the hot dogs falling off is great.
Well, he's just so defeated. He's sitting on the floor, just dipping them, the cold dogs in mustard. Lisa's up getting just a can of Buzz Cola.
Yeah, in the middle of the night. She's like, talking about, can I stay up? Like, that's going to keep her up all night anyway.
Yeah.
You know?
So then, Homer's like, you have to save my marriage. But the whole thing of, you know, being like, there's stuff she doesn't know about.
Like, this line.
Poker shack in the swamp.
I love that, like, where he's like, because there's lots of stuff she doesn't know about. Like, and she's so deadpan. Like, your poker shack in the swamp. She's like, she knows. Like,
it's just the way she says that. She knows.
The idea of him having a poker shack in the swamp.
Yeah.
Where
Show
is
me that episode.
Like, where is Springfield that they have swamp land?
Everything.
A Grand Canyon, like.
I want to see the episode in the swamp with Moe.
I want to see Homer running a casino out there in the swamp, you know?
Yeah. Moe, Lenny, Carl, and Barney.
Herman, of course. You got to have Herman.
And
back.
Herman, of course. Just have one episode. That'd be great. And then
it's so sad. This is sad. I think it is like old footage from an episode when it's like Homer and Marge.
Oh, is it?
I think it's old footage from an episode.
Oh.
And then the truck stop footage is new because the animation is different on both types.
I feel like their wedding day has gone through several different iterations.
This is such a sad one where, like, to a whale of a wife, and they're they're sitting on the side
of a highway, I guess.
To Vegas, like, I don't know, like you get married in Vegas, at least go to one
Vegas.
Of the casinos or something, like.
Just like $10 worth of chips.
Yeah. Like, marriage, me, like, is less and less likely you're going to yell surprise and have my friends jump out.
Yeah.
Homer's not even listening to her. Levi's.
Yeah, her dream day.
Yeah. Oh, so sad. Poor Marge.
And so he goes around trying to, like, be nice to her now and help her. So, first of all, he's soothing her to sleep with the whale.
He buys the tickets to, like, all these egghead theater stuff, but the soothing of the to sleep stuff is great. Like,
it's like, what's he thinking by the end? Arr!
You're like, okay, yeah,
that's fine. he's trying to cut her hair.
Yeah, like, do you notice
what is he thinking?
Did you notice the name of the salon?
No.
The Perm Bank.
Oh, brilliant.
It's good, right?
They nailed it this episode.
Yeah.
Brilliant. How do they think of it? Like?
Yeah, I know. Like, but like Homer doing it, he's like, la-da-dee-da-da-do. And like, she's like, Armando, don't you think you're taking a bit much off?
At first, I remember thinking, like when I was a kid, that she was mean to him.
She's not harsh enough on him here,
Now looking at it, I would totally agree. Yeah, she's not harsh enough.
Homer filing for divorce.
Okay.
One woman, person. Like, these things happen. $8.
Yeah.
Yeah. I did like this line for some reason. Like, only 3 cavities. Your best checkup ever. I'm going to make your specialty. Butterscotch chicken. Like, where do you think the cavities are coming from?
I never picked up on that.
Did you know?
I actually never picked up on that. But was that part, though, I just had a note that part, I'd like to file for divorce. Was that when the ad break was?
I think it might. No, actually, because you're right.
It's
end.
A bit late, isn't it? Like, I don't know. I don't know why it matters, but
it's the way it fades away, though. I know what you mean.
Yeah, you know?
Like, yeah.
You think that's it. And... Yeah, so then Homer's just standing all serious in the silhouette, like, Marge, can you come in here for a second? And I totally agree. I think the whole renewing your vows thing is a bit
hokey.
You know, yes. So I like I respect the fact that he went ahead.
I like the fact when he asks her to marry him, she's like, "Why? Am I pregnant?"
Yeah,
like, as if he would know and she wouldn't. Like,
yeah, yeah.
So it's a nice little wedding.
Who likes the Doobie Brothers? Cause we got one of them.
I fucking love the Doobie Brothers. Let me tell you right now.
What are they got?
What a fool believes. Help me. Yeah, there you go. There's our outro song right there.
Oh, you know it. I'm right with you on that one.
They have a load of great stuff, though. They have, that song, Without Love.
I tell you, I've been getting into a lot of soul lately, like 70s. Well, like, I was listening to Teddy Pendergrass.
Ooh.
And the Isley Brothers. And I never realised how much of the Isley Brothers songs
were sampled,
though. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Like nearly every... I heard a new one the other day from the Isley Brothers. I can't remember where I'd heard it first, but it was in, like, a Tupac song or something. Yeah. I remember thinking, like, oh, that's them as well. Like, they had a whole bunch of them, like.
The Delphonics are good, too.
Delphonics?
You've never seen Jackie Brown, have you?
No, I haven't.
It's a plot point in Jackie Brown... that she recommends him listen to the Delphonics, and he buys a tape of it, and he's listening in the car with a song called "Didn't I Blow Your Mind?"
Didn't I blow your mind, girl? Didn't I? Yeah, I do actually know that one. Great one. Let's just do this.
Yeah, absolutely. Maybe teacher.
But that's kind of it. Like then Kirk takes the mic. He gives the
First of all, before that, did you notice what song they're playing when they're dancing?
For the first time, yes. Spandau Ballet.
There you go. Yeah.
Very good.
I know. Yes. Tony did the other version of PM Dawn. He did his version of a PM Dawn song.
PM Dawn?
Yeah. Set adrift on memory bliss.
I don't know what that is.
You know PM Dawn.
PM Dawn?
Dawn. D-A- Asian Dawn. D-A-W-N. PM Dawn. D-A-W-N.
I don't know what that is.
You know that song. I don't. Set adrift on memory bliss. It's a rap song that samples True.
Spandau Ballet.
Yeah. But I think Tony, it was remember, the Tony true did one. Man Hands, didn't he?
Yeah, but then at the end, he actually breaks into Spandau Ballet.
No one. That's the joke, Andy.
Because no, it's just it's a true parody. I don't know what this PM Dawn. This is the first day I've heard of this PM Dawn.
I'm going to reach into the screen and I'm gonna...
You're all the way over there. Come get me.
Hey, Corkies. I can travel anywhere I want now. County restrictions are lifted. Hey, yeah, I'm coming.
Got to get
you.
Your car first.
Yeah. No problem. Faye, pack
just
up the baby.
Got to relearn how to drive.
Yeah.
Have you actually been doing any driving?
I booked my theory test there again because I have to redo my theory test.
Do you?
Yeah, because it's expired. I did it
did
so
you
long.
Get your provisional?
I did it so long ago.
But did you get your provisional?
No, I never
license?
Got my provisional.
Ah, okay.
I did it so long ago that I had to do it again. So
that's what you need. August
is the next available slot in Dublin. What the fuck? Jesus. How are they not doing this online yet? Like,
I know. Well, you could just cheat, couldn't you?
Could you?
Yeah, just have
sure
the answers.
You could do a thing like this, like recording, And you could, if I'm like, hold on a sec.
Yeah, but you could literally just have post-its taped all around your laptop screen of
There's a way to do it. Surely some egghead can...
The pieces are all there.
But anyway, Tony did Man Hands, was a parody of... No, I know. I'm telling you this, right? Okay. Did Man Hands, which was, used the thing from PM Dawn. And then at the end, he broke in to True by Spandau Ballet because PM Dawn uses a sample of True by Spandau Ballet. It's a
PM Dawn.
It's a good joke by Tony and it's wasted on the likes of you.
Okay, well,
get me a copy of Man Hands, will you?
No. How about that? I've never heard of this group PM Dawn.
Set
so this is news to me. I just figured it was Spandau Ballet.
Google it. Maybe that should be our outro song. Set adrift on memory bliss.
Well, which is it?
I'll leave it up to you. You got a choice of two.
Okay.
Listen to PM Dawn, Set Adrift on Memory Bliss, and see what you think about it.
I'll listen to it. So you'll know if it is PM Dawn, I think it's better than...
Doobie Brothers.
The Doobie Brothers. Yeah. Or Spandau Ballet, true.
No, I will say, no, right there. If it's Spandau Ballet, it's got to be gold.
Oh, goal? Okay, well, that wouldn't make sense. Anyway.
Always believe.
They were great, weren't they?
Not really, like two
those
songs.
Those two songs are great. Pretty good. Weren't they? You know what song I have been listening to? I put it on my playlist. I heard it on the radio. Nick Kershaw. Wouldn't it be good to be in your shoes? Brilliant stuff. Mad into the 80s this week now, I have to say.
Yeah, I think he did The River as well. There are dreams by the river.
Oh, is that him too? Not as good, but...
Yeah, it's same wheelhouse. Can't all be number ones.
Oh, yeah, totally.
I guess so. I guess so, yeah.
Whatever. Anyway, we're at 99% here. Let's just get this over the line.
So then you get Kirk.
Yes.
Hurting hearts need some healing. Take my hand with your glove of love.
Can I borrow a feeling? Could you lend me a jar of love?
hurting hearts need some healing. Take my hand with your glove of love. How about it, Luann? Will you marry me? Again?
Ooh, no.
Oh, well, can I have my shirts back at least?
Okay, you heard the lady. Why don't you take it outside, all right?
Well, I do love where it's like, could you help a guy in love? It's like, sure, that's what we're here for.
That's why we're here.
And like, when he's like, how about it, Luann? Will you marry me? Again?
Oh, no.
He's like, well, can I have my shirts back, please? And like, your man Chase is being like, okay, you heard the lady. Take it outside, all right? And
I love it.
It makes sense to me now. I never realized before. He can't, like, the reason why he ushers him out, like, he's asking for the shirts back. She's burned all his clothes.
Oh, yeah.
So that, I never copped it before this watch.
Me neither.
Like, yeah, oh. He's just like, okay, get out of here. Like,
this conversation's over.
I always remember at the end when it's like, I'll be back. Probably. And then it just ends. And when I was watching it the first time, I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
Like, that's it? What a different ending.
It's great, different. Like. And it signifies that, like, it's not just a case of...
back to the status quo.
Back to normal.
Yeah.
Or the term they used, I think, was happy ending in 30 minutes or less.
Like, yeah,
they didn't have that for this one. It continued on. It wasn't a reset next week. So, very, very good for that.
Yes.
Starting a bit of an arc there.
I mean, it continued for, you know...
ever.
Yeah. I mean, they did get them back together, but, you know, all of them.
Can we get into ratings, please?
Please.
We want you to tell us what you think and be honest, because no one from the show is here spying on you.
Well, let me ask you something, pal. Thoughts on this one?
How would I say it? I actually was a bit worried at the start that it wasn't going to be what I wanted the episode to be. Like, I thought, like, the first minute or two, I was like, oh no. Is this not going to do it for me? And then it bloody took off like a rocket ship. I just thought it was fantastic. Like you said, jokes coming thick and fast at you.
Yeah.
Good story, because it, like you say, the fact that they pivoted seamlessly back to Homer and Marge, which I really appreciated.
Like, you almost, like, I had to, it was only after I'd read it, I was like, I didn't even really think of that at the time when I was watching it. It was so seamless.
I kind of, you know what I mean? I clocked it when it was like, oh, this is the part where Kirk kind of just gives the baton back to Homer.
Yeah.
And then Homer is doing his whole thing, like, for the last 5 minutes or whatever it is, or the last third of the episode.
Yeah.
But
and they do a really good job of using them then at the end to end on that comedic note again.
But it's also the juxtaposition, like the fact that, like, we'll never end up like Kirk and Luann. It might sound a bit harsh, but like, yeah, also it's there. Like, it's reassuring to the viewer that it's like, you know, it would take something a lot bigger than Homer's, you know,
usual
everyday screw ups.
Yeah. Hang on, let me make sure I'm close to the mic here.
I thought it was great. Kirk is my MVP.
Nice.
My rating, I'm going to give it...
yes.
I'm going to give it a 9.1.
Ooh, okay.
What did I give Larry Burns? Was that a 9?
You gave him a 9, yeah.
I kind of feel I think they should both be 9.1s, really. But, you know, I made my bed.
I think we can do what we want. Do you want me to change that for you, pal?
Change, put him on a 9.1 as well. Hey, give them all 9.1s. Hey there, Chuckles. Why don't you give them all 9.1s?
Even Bart After Dark?
Yeah. You too, lady.
Now,
what did you think?
Probably, I think that I pretty much summed up my thoughts too. I thought it was very good. The laughs per minute ratio was very good.
Very high laugh per minute ratio, I think, you know?
And good laughs. And like you said, it's rare that you can get one that has these good laughs and have a good story too. So yes, I thoroughly enjoyed it. My MVP would also be Kirk.
Hard not to. It's his breakout, isn't it? Like,
yeah, it's his episode, really.
He'd had a few jokes in the past, in that, like, you know, I don't like the idea of Milhouse having two spaghetti dinners, or you know, when they go to Shelbyville and it's like, you know, I hate Shelbyville. She's like, I was born in Shelbyville. Like, and it tears me up inside. You know, like those kind of things. But like, this is his first, you know, wow.
Yeah, breakout.
Yeah.
Well, I'd give it an 8.6. I wouldn't rate it in the nines now.
Wow,
but
okay.
But I enjoyed it. It's a good, solid 8.6. Is still an A. It's an A minus.
It's an anus.
Grow up. Listen, on that bombshell, should we get our plugs in, please?
Please.
Not in the anus.
You're better than that, Andy. You don't have to wear blue.
Jesus. I don't. Anyway, I'm going to just get on with it. You can find us on Twitter and Instagram. Put it in H podcast. You can find links to everything we do there, particularly on our Instagram. You can find links on there to our What's So Great About Marvel, to our Bill Oakley interview, our merchandise, and our Patreon.
Ooh, the Patreon, you say?
Well, yes, the Patreon.
That's where the good stuff is happening over there. Andy just mentioned our What's So Great About series. That's over there for the low, low fee of $5 dues a month, €450. We don't know what it is in sterling. You'll get...
Frankly, we don't want to know.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, there it is. Huh? Pew, pew. If you pay that money, you'll get 2 episodes per month of our What's So Great About podcast, and then 2 bonus episodes. Andy, what is going on?
My face looks so bright on this screen.
I don't know what's going on.
You can't even see me.
Always throwing me off when I'm in the middle of my spiel. 2 bonus episodes per month about various topics. We just did ones on... Oh, well, that's part of our MCU. Falcon and the Winter Soldier. We've done ones on, Andy mentioned earlier on, Pitcher and H. We've done one on the Beyond the Mat. We've done one on The Last Dance. We've done loads of music ones where, you know, Andy's tried to show me what's great about emo stuff. I've picked some of my teenage tunes for him to chew on. There's all good stuff there.
Essentially, it's us off the leash.
Riffing.
There's no Simpsons content on there, I'll tell you that. But it's just us. And with the Patreon ones are for me personally, I think they're probably the most fun to do. I love when those mad episodes where we're like pitching each other movies or coming up with our dream festival.
Get a bit creative, you know what
telling
I mean?
Each other our dream day.
That was a good one.
All this sort of stuff, yeah. So they're always fun, and we have a few good ones coming up as well. So worth checking.
Oh yeah, we take listener requests. Quite frankly, we feed off them.
Yeah. Frankly, we depend on them.
Yeah, I mean, what you expect us to do all the heavy lifting?
I mean, good one, T.
So, if you can't afford that, well, that's a shame.
That's the least of your problems.
Stop nagging our customer base, Andy. But you can help me out in another way.
Yeah.
Now, guys, I know Kirk took his business from number 1 to 6.
Okay,
but what I want is 5 stars.
Oh.
Give me that review. 5-star review, crackers. Please. Yes. Our rating review on Apple, you know, podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts really helps the podcast grow, helps get more ears on the product, on our dreaded word content. You know, we don't like that word here, but you know, apparently it's what you need to be, what you need to be creating.
Speaking of, give us a shout out on Soch if you like it as well. We always love that.
Really helps, you know, get
it all helps
get us out there. Yeah. I mean, you do some of the work.
Get us out of this
free,
jam,
you know?
We find ourselves in.
And of course, as we say every week, if you made it this far, thank you so much for listening.
Thank you very much.
Andy, do you have something you want to tell our listeners?
I love you.
And I like you.
Well, there it is.
thing. I think it's one of those deja vu things. Or a dream is trying to tell me something. But will I ever stop thinking about it? I don't know. I doubt it. Subterranean by design. I wonder what I would find if I met you. Let my eyes caress you until I meet the thought of Mrs. Princess, who often wonder what makes her work. I guess I'll leave that question to the experts, assuming that there are some out there. They're probably alone, solitaire. I can remember when I caught up with a pastime intimate friend. She said, but you're probably gonna say I look lovely, but you probably don't think nothing of me. She was right though, I can't lie. She's just one of those corners of my mind, and I just put it right back with the rest. That's the way it goes. Baby, you send me out. Baby, you send me out. Set adrift on the river. Baby, you send me out. Baby, you send me out. Set adrift on the river. A careless whisper from a careless man. Dance for a neutron fan. Marionette strings are dangerous things. A thought of all the trouble they bring. An eye for an eye, a spy for spy. Rubber bands expand in a frustrating sigh. Tell me that she's not dreaming. She's got an ace in the hole that doesn't have meaning. Reality used to be a friend of mine. Cause complete control, I don't take too kind. Christina Applegate, you gotta put me on. But guess whose piece of the cake was Jack Bourne? She broke a wishbone and wished for a sign. I told her whispers in my heart were fine. What did she think she could do? I feel for her, I really do. And I stared at the ring finger on her hand. I wanted her to be a big PM Dawn fan. But I'll have to put her right back with the rest. That's the way it goes, I guess. Baby, you send me out. 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 Set adrift on the river. Baby, you send me out. Baby, you send me out. Set adrift on the river. Baby, you send me out.